Today, Operation Housing Mincemeat. Hi again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, where I've made this post covering finance and property news. Well, the desperate quest for housing is playing out across Australia, with renters fighting to find an affordable place and being confronted with significant rent hikes, while others are trying to buy their way into the property market despite tight lending conditions and are fighting directly with some property investors who are still hoovering up more property, as well as new migrants who are arriving in their thousands. It's a mess, and many are getting crushed in the process. So the latest lending data underscores the issues as the ABS released their lending indicators on Thursday. They reported that for the total housing loans, new volumes fell 3.9% to $25.1 billion in January, after a fall of 4.1% in December. But it was still 8.5% higher compared to a year ago. Incomes, of course, are not growing at anything like that, and in Sydney, you need at least 2.5 times the average income to buy almost anything. It's a little easier over in the West. Within that, the total for owner-occupier housing fell 4.6% to $15.9 billion, but that was still 3.5% higher compared to a year ago, while for investor housing, new loans fell 2.6% to $9.2 billion, but it was, wait for it, 18.5% higher compared to a year ago, so investors are still significantly ahead. Reflecting the continued fall in new building approvals, new loan commitments for the construction of new dwellings fell 3.2% and was 6% lower compared to a year ago, while loans for the purchase of existing dwellings fell 5.2% but was 3.7% higher compared to a year ago, and loans for the purchase of new dwellings fell 1% but was still 3.4% higher compared to a year ago. Now, in January 2024, in original terms, the value of new variable rate loan commitments funded in the month fell 16.3%, while the value of new fixed loan commitments funded for the month fell 6.5%. Now, a loan is considered funded once any portion of the funds is made available to the borrower to draw down according to the terms of the contract, and that will occur after there's a borrower accepted commitment to provide finance. And that means that due to this timing difference, the value of loans funded in the month will generally not reconcile with the value of new borrower accepted commitments for the month. Now, across the states, for owner-occupier housing, the value of new loan commitments in Victoria fell a massive 9.1%. In New South Wales, they fell 6.3%. In Queensland, they fell 2.9%. In Tasmania, they fell 8.4%. In South Australia, they fell 1.3%. In the Northern Territory, they fell 16.3%. While in the ACT, they fell just 2%. But in Western Australia, they were up 1.8%. For investor housing, the value of new loan commitments in Victoria fell 6.9%. In Queensland, they fell 1.6%. In New South Wales, they fell 0.1%. In the ACT, they fell 1.4%. And in Tasmania, they fell 1%, while in Western Australia, they rose 1.2%, and in South Australia, they rose 1.5%, and in the Northern Territory, they rose 28.6%. The average new loan value fell 1.5% at the national level, from $624,000 to $615,000 in original terms, but there were still rises in South Australia and Western Australia, where the markets were more buoyant. And by the way, the Tasmanian, Northern Territory, and the ACT series are smaller and typically more volatile. Now, the mortgage cliff, where cheap sub 2% loans were reset to much higher rates, is coming towards the end of the road, although CBA has warned recently that debt servicing costs will continue to rise as the remaining cheap pandemic fixed rate mortgage resets to variable. And some of the cheaper fixes are yet to expire, according to my surveys. In addition, some cheap deals seem to have been extended on their original term for some borrowers. Some of the funding pressures will remain. All up, though, the ABS said that in January 2024, in season-adjusted terms, the value of external refinancing for total housing fell 5% to $16.1 billion and was 19.5% lower compared to a year ago, while for owner-occupier housing, new loans fell 7.4% to $10.3 billion and was 24.3% lower compared to a year ago. And for investor housing, they fell 0.5% to $5.8 billion, and that was 9.1% lower compared to a year ago. Now, one reason, apart from the cliff problem, is that lenders have reduced competitive cashback offers. Turning to first-time buyers, at the national level, new loans for owner occupation fell 6.9% to 8,707, following an 8.9% fall in December. It was still 4.4% higher compared to a year ago. Now, the ABS didn't include information of first home buyers going for the investment sector, despite the fact that we see more first-time buyers going the investor route because they want to get on the ladder somehow and cannot find a place to buy where they want to live. Meanwhile, the value of those owner-occupied loans fell 6% in the month and were 13.2% higher compared to a year ago. In original terms, the average loan size for a first home buyer borrower rose from $485,000 to $514,000 over the year, way ahead of wages growth. Across the states, in New South Wales, first-time buyer lending fell 8%. In Victoria, it fell 5.3%. In West Australia, it fell 5.9%. In Queensland, it fell 4%. In South Australia, it fell 10.3%. In the Northern Territories, it fell 28.2%. In the ACT, down 6.1%. And in Tasmania, it fell 7.4%. So standing back, the mess continues, with more households getting more leveraged and the battle between investors and first-time buyers still running as the former benefit from negative gearing and other tax breaks, while first-time buyers have to compete with the cash-up investors as well as new migrants willing and able to buy. All up, a record proportion of Australian households' incomes are currently being devoted to debt repayments. And so these figures confirm again that housing is really, really broken. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.